Okay, welcome to the quarterly community call for Now What Coaching. My name is Laura Berman-Forking, and this is like a call-in hour, meaning it's sort of like as if we were doing a radio show and you were calling in to ask your questions. I will take any questions live. You can email me during the call at lbf@lauraberman-forking.com if you're too shy to ask your question out loud. But I do prefer to people ask their questions live so that we can actually do some coaching if we can. Before I ask who's out there and who has a question, I do have a few email questions here which will help add some structure to our call. I also want to let you know a little bit about why I do these calls. So I wrote the book, Now What? 90 Days to a New Life Direction, as a result of 9/11. And it's had a long life and got rebooted in 2015 in an updated version. And there's a TED Talk that has over 700,000 views, a TEDx Talk. And I'm going to address one of the most asked questions from that TED Talk tonight, since I'm asked repeatedly, so it's time to have an answer and record it. But I wrote Now What because so many people had to reinvent themselves, they still do, so many industries changing, so many people working longer. So many people working longer, having to reinvent their careers many times. So I wrote this book for people who are not sure what they want to do. The assumption is you may have no idea what you want to do. So this book will work for you if you completely have no clue, or you have a clue and you just need some confirmation, or you have more than a clue and you're ready to take some steps forward. So Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, is divided into two sections. How to figure out what it is you want to do, and then the second section is figuring out how do you make that happen. So everything that we talk about tonight will be based on that and based on my 25 years as a coach. I'm one of the first coaches trained in the U.S. formally at Coach University and one of the founders of the International Coach Federation, which is the largest international body that credentials, coaches and certifies coach training programs. In fact, every major university in the United States now has a coaching certificate designed. It's based on the competencies and the structures provided by the International Coach Federation. So I really stopped counting a long time ago, so I've worked with thousands of clients one-on-one and hundreds of thousands if you want to count people who did the work through the books or watching TV. Tonight I'm going to tell you a little bit later about a huge savings on our home study course. So if you're curious to take this further, I will have a special offer for you at the end of the call. But this call is not about selling anything, really. I created this call. Actually, our first community calls were after 9/11, just helping people cope. And we've been doing quarterly calls for people working with the book, for people who haven't discovered the book yet, who want to come and ask questions about their career transition. So, with that said, I know I heard a couple of people weigh in, just meaning that I heard your name as you entered the call, and most people will be listening to this on a recording after the fact. So I will give first dibs to the people who are here. Is there anyone who'd like to ask a question about their situation? Feel free to just say your name and where you're from, or if you don't want to say your name, that's fine. What can I do for you? Oh, it's
Hi.
Not kind of a night. Okay, good. Who is that?
My name is Linda, and I'm from Kansas.
Hi, Linda from Kansas. What's on your mind?
I'm trying to do a career change. It's kind of a bit, I guess, a process because, I was diagnosed with cancer. And after I had cancer, I was been out of the workforce, and I'm kind of wondering where should I begin or where should I start?
Well, you are, so you sent me an email question, so I have this question in front of me. Great. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you had to go through that challenge. I hope you're okay now.
I'm cancer-free.
Fabulous. That's fabulous. So how long were you away from your previous work?
About 7 years. After I had cancer, they put me on bed rest, and then I had a number of compounding health issues from the chemotherapy. Since then, I've been trying to regain my health and regain my strength, and now I'm at a point where I can think about what I'd like to do in the future.
Well, it must feel good to just be able to think about the future and not just dealing with feeling miserable.
Yes.
And my heart really goes out to you. I mean, my mother had cancer 8 years ago, and she's still not okay from the chemo, but she's older. You're bouncing back better. All right, so I know what you did before because you told me. Is it okay if we share that with people who are listening?
Yes.
Okay, so you were an educator and you were an
education
program coordinator. Yeah, so here's a good thing about education. It hasn't changed as fast as other industries. So getting back into education is not out of the question.
Okay.
You know, we can explain gaps in our resumes in positive ways. You know, we don't have to tell people long, drawn-out stories. It's just like, you know, had a health crisis and then took some time for myself and I'm really ready to come back to the workplace, you know. So some industries don't change as radically in that time period as others. So I think, you know, I don't know if you're willing to move for a job, but I would say that, you know, if you put your resume back together and you're able to explain in a cover letter the gap in the resume, you know, you're positioned to do so unless you feel like there's been some kind of, you know, new advancement or change that you might have to study up on. You're probably still very marketable.
Okay.
Now, yeah, so, I mean, that's just from my general knowledge of, you know, working with lots of people in lots of different fields. Like, I'm working with somebody right now as a client of mine who was in finance, and it's been 15 years of other things that took her away from working. And, you know, 15 years in finance, the world has moved on. That's going to be a much harder re-entry. So in that case, the person would, you know, look at what are the skills they gained and where else could they be used. So for you, I think you're marketable still now, but should you decide, well, you know, let me broaden my scope a little bit. You know, were you an educator at what level?
In a way, middle school, high school, and then I joined education program coordinator through my university where I did an online mentoring program. I was the one that created projects with teachers, and then I would pair the students up with an online mentor that worked for companies like Hewlett-Packard, Merck, and it was through a community/community service national education program. So it was in a way non-profit, but for like government institutions. They call it an NGO in a way. Yeah.
Great. So that is still relevant, and that also might open you up to being able to. You know, maybe there's nonprofits around education or program coordination around education. So I would say, you know, broaden your reach, too.
Okay.
Think a little bit outside of...
Outside the box.
Outside the box. Don't just limit yourself to what you've done before. It's like, how else can you leverage this experience? And sometimes we have to create a good business case for why we'd be right for that, but it's always worth trying. Great. And then important, and I'll just work off your example, but it really goes for everybody, is if you've been sidelined or you've been on a different kind of a schedule, when you're going to get back into the job search mode, you have to treat it like a job itself. So have, you know that I'm devoting 2 hours a day to this. You're going into your office, or you're taking over your dining room, or the corner of your bedroom, or whatever, and you're going to, this is your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to run and avoid it, because, you know, who wants to make cold calls, and who wants to, you know, be discouraged by reading job descriptions and going, oh, but I don't have that degree, you know, so it's hard to keep your butt in that seat, but it's really important to create a structure around your search, around your research, and around, you know, if you're doing the Now What program, you're still trying to figure out what you want to do, so there's some guidance on how to navel gaze. But I always tell people, especially if they're not in a, you know, working at the moment, that you need to create a structure and treat it like a job and be like, okay, I'm like clocking in and working now, and all right, if I want to negotiate with myself and only do 1 hour now and 1 hour at the end of the day, okay, fine, but you have to make the time and treat it seriously. You know, like when I speak to solopreneurs, or people that have their own business, I always ask them, is this a, you know, are you treating your business like a hobby, or are you treating it like a business? And the same goes for job search. We can't treat it like a hobby. That's your job now, is finding a job.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Great question. I was going to use your question if you were here or not.
This has been, you know, going on for some time, thinking about things, trying to plan out things, and kind of feeling aimless and needing inspiration. And I found you through the TED Talk, and I thought that was a great tool. Yeah, loved it.
Oh, wonderful. I'm delighted. I mean, so many people have seen it, and we're going to cover another question that I get all the time, so hang tight. And comes off.
I'm hanging tight.
Okay. Well, thank you for yours, and your question was great because it led to a couple of other general points to make for everybody. So that's, I really appreciate that. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Anybody else who has a question or a scenario or a wondering? Not everyone likes to come forward. All right, so interrupt me now if you have one. Oh, good, there we go. Hi, who's there?
Hi, my name is Pam, and this is my first time on one of your calls. I saw your TED Talk, too, so this is good. I've been looking forward to it for almost a month.
Well, welcome. You hit us just at the right time.
Yeah, and so I'm finding myself in a little bit of a quandary because I have some parameters that I have to work within because I need to be schedule and location friendly at this point in my career because I'm, you know, going back and forth between two states and taking care of aging parents and I have a teacher. And so I did create a position where I can do that, where I'm doing coaching and enrollments and onboarding for a variety of personal and professional development programs, but I'm finding that my income is so inconsistent because either the marketing didn't work out right and the launch failed, or there just weren't enough leads, or, you know, they're overlapping those programs or launches, or, you know, or there's a big gap. And so, so I'm dreaming about, you know, okay, well, how can I find an affiliate marketing situation to complement all that feels really meaningful because meaning and purpose are really important to me. And I guess when I saw your TED Talk, I went, wow, I feel like I'm so close. And if I could just get that piece right where, you know, I know that what I'm doing is meaningful and purposeful, and it fills in the gaps of what I'm doing. I would feel immense career satisfaction.
So you're almost there. So what do you have a specific question? What can I go deeper with you on?
Yeah, so I guess my question is how do I find out, you know, of the available choices as soon as to fill in the gap, how do I find out what would be most valuable to me? Like, what is the process for that? That's why I was, you know, my jaw was dropped during that TED Talk, because the way that you were walking this gentleman through, you know, how he found out what made him inspired was creating awe experiences. I'm going, okay, so what is it that feels really meaningful and purposeful to me that I can do within the parameters that I have?
So, all right, so you're talking about the example in the TEDx talk where I found the connection in all the things that he did that sort of pointed to a purpose. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. So how do I find out about how to do that?
Okay, so you're saying that you don't have words or a sense yet of purpose for yourself, but you've identified some activities that would be meaningful to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm trying to find out what would feel the most meaningful and purposeful within the parameters that I have, which are I have to be schedule and location friendly.
Okay, so let me do a little general talking about this. So, when, you know, we're looking for that, you know, what would be meaningful to me? You know, what would be meaningful to me? And it doesn't come, you know, instantly as an answer to you, and then you have parameters around it. Like, you can't fully change your whole life to have an entirely new direction. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So the key becomes, how do you get a little bit of it into what you do every day? But first we got to define what it is. So I'm going to go through a few questions that are part of the purpose chapter in Now What, 90 Days to New Life Direction. It's chapter 5. So this is the process
okay.
that I put people to name their purpose. And, I mean, this is like the pinnacle of the whole thing, and it's more involved than what we can do on the phone. But I'll just go through these four questions that I want anyone who's listening to answer for themselves. So when you're looking for what, you know, what's your purpose or what's meaningful to you, what's going to be satisfying work, you know, you know it when you're doing it. You know, if there's something you enjoy doing and you feel wonderful doing it, there's an answer right there. But how you define it more clearly is to ask these series of questions. So question one is, how do people use you? Like, just in life, not even your job description. How do people, what do they come to you for? What do people seem to gravitate to you for? So look at that. You know, everyone sort of has, like, this, you know, natural way, you know, like, you could just stand in a room and do nothing and you'd have a ripple effect because of how you affect people, right? So no one has a purpose alone in a vacuum. How we know we found our purpose is it's something we already do or are, and it has to do with impacting others. So, like I said, first place to look is, you know, how do people use me? Like, are you the natural peacemaker in your world? Are you the person people come to with problems? Or do you help people see the forest through the trees and see their way? Like, how do people use you? And I use that word very purposely, use you. Okay, second question. What do people always say you should do or be? Obviously, I'm not about listening to other people tell you what you should do, but when in your lifetime people have sort of echoed the same thing over and over and over again, it's not that they're trying to whisper a direction at you. Like, for example, if someone said, oh, you should be a comedian, you're so funny, like, yeah, you have no interest in working in seedy clubs and having people throw their drinks at you. But so if they're not dictating that's your life direction, what are they dictating? They're actually reflecting something about you. So in this case, be a comedian really means you're funny, use your sense of humor, you know. So whether you write something or you're fun, or you have to give presentations in front of your office, or, you know, you're the head of the PTA, use your humor. You know, if you've heard growing up your whole life, you should be a lawyer. Maybe you don't want to be a lawyer, but what are people saying? They're saying you have verbal skill. They're saying you argue well. They're saying you fight for justice. Whatever it is, they're reflecting something about you. So think about that thing that perhaps you've heard said about you that never interested you as a career path but might hold some clues.
Okay.
Third place to look. Did you ever have a dream? And this is what you're talking about from the TEDx talk. You know, your dream may not be dictating your life direction either. So I use myself as an example. Like, I wanted nothing more to be on Broadway and to be a musical theater starlet. And I put 11 years into that, and it was not going my way. even though I was relatively successful working as an actor and made union status and all that. But that's all I ever wanted. So how could that dream not come true? Well, 10 years later, when I was already being a coach, I remembered that when I was up for a scholarship for an acting program, one of the people, one of the judges, asked me, what would be possible if you were successful as a performer? And I remember kind of answering from a Miss America, good girl, oldest child kind of a way, but the answer struck me 10 years later as much more important. I said, if I were successful as a performer, people would see me on stage and be inspired to change something in their lives. They would see a play and be moved to do something different. And 10 years later, I realized what I had said. I didn't want to be an actor just for the fun of being on stage and applause and whatever. I wanted to be an actor because I wanted to cause change from the stage.
Yeah.
So here was 10 years later going, oh my God, I didn't really fail at that. I just changed forms. Right? So there might be something in your old dreams that might have a different meaning than you interpreted at the time. And I call that the essence of your dreams. Like, what's the essence of it? How you get to that is what would be possible if you were successful at that. You know, if you were successful as a writer or used to dream of being a spy, or I've had people tell me that they used to dream of being a paleontologist, which is studying dinosaurs. And it wasn't so much that they wanted to go study dinosaurs. It was that the essence of that was they loved research. They loved hunting and finding answers. And those are the pieces that become transferable to meaningful work. Now, I promised four questions. So the final question is, what has your whole life been about? Because sometimes there's people who can't answer any of those questions, but they can tell you that their life has been hard, their life has been about surviving, their life was about, you know, having to fight for everything they had. Those people, maybe all those hardships were about being able to turn around and help somebody else, because you are uniquely qualified to help somebody who has those same battles. And then that's turning your story into your legacy. So those series of questions are just meant to dig a little deeper and to see if you uncover a different way to look at where meaning and purpose might come from for you. Does that make
okay,
sense?
Okay, great. Yeah, no, those are deeply insightful questions.
And they all come from the Now What books. If you forget, just, you know, spend $15 on a copy on Amazon or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no,
it's,
I will.
It's chapter five. But the thing about purpose is, you know, it's not a bumper sticker thing. It's not like some huge assignment from the heavens or God open up and go, your purpose is to save the planet. It's your purpose is just the ripple effect that you cause. It's who you are, in essence. And it's really just about changing your focus from purpose being a thing that you do to more of purpose being the way that you are. And that causes things in the world. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, it does make sense in a vague sort of way. So if you have further words of clarification there, that's good. But I understand that you're saying that purpose is not some destination that you ultimately arrive at. It's your way of being in the world and how you are naturally, that becomes noticeable.
Exactly. Well, that gave me goosebumps. You said that so well. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I like to use this example, too. You know, I had the great opportunity to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show back in the day. And for 2 years after I had been on, I kept getting calls from them, and they kept teasing, like, oh, we're going to have you back. Oh, we want to see your availability here. And goodness knows what can happen to your life if you become a regular on Oprah. So I kind of, like, you know, stopped breathing, and my whole being for 2 years was, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And I needed to just slap myself across the face and go, like, you are so off purpose right now, you know? Like, get back to it. You know, who I am is someone who just causes change. And I'm not changing anything sitting here worrying about if Oprah's going to call tomorrow. And when you realize that it's a being and not a doing, you can cause change or whatever your thing is everywhere you go. And that creates a meaningful life. And you would be amazed at what kind of circumstances can happen, what people notice you for, or what kind of connections you make when you're just giving yourself the freedom to express that part of you.
Yeah, no, that's
deep. It is. No, I mean, I had like a killer saleswoman once as a client, and she, you know, wanted to do something else, and she didn't know what, and da-da-da, and, you know, we looked at this being piece, and she's like, you know, she has spent so much time making enemies because she was so competitive, and she realized that she really had the power within her to, instead of making enemies by putting other people down, she could actually bring them all up. And so shifting that and making that her focus and not competition her focus. Within a couple of years, she got moved into a leadership role, and a few years after that, she was taken even higher. And that wasn't because she smoothed her way to her new job. It was just letting all that be at the forefront is what sort of was like a lubricant to her career.
Yeah, it sounds like her massive mind shift about who she decided she was going to start being created the opening for her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that very much. Chapter 5.
Yes. Wonderful. Great. Thank you for your question.
Thank you for your answer.
Absolutely. All right. Let me see if there's anything else live. If not, I'm going to tell you, I answer the big question from the TEDx talk. Anybody else have a question? All right. So this is something I want to address, and hopefully those of you that are on here will find it interesting too. The number one question that I get from the TEDx talk is about the short comment that I made that I could not address because you only have 12 minutes to do this talk and I couldn't go off on this tangent. And I addressed to people that if they never had a dream, because I just talked about in those four questions, what is your dream? What was your old dream as a kid? If you've never had a dream and you don't dream currently and can't ever remember having anything you wanted to be when you grew up, I've noticed over years of observation that people who usually report that would also be apt to tell me that they had a scary upbringing, you know, so whether they had a lot of anger in their home or maybe there was alcoholism or maybe someone was sick and you never knew if they were going to be alive the next day. Anything that would frighten a kid and make them not feel safe would cut off their ability to dream. Or maybe if they had to go to work at an early age with their family. So that's the biggest question I get is, oh my gosh, that's me. How you didn't talk about that in the talk. How do you fix that? So on my website, lauraburmanforking.com, I have a little flag right at the top that says free resources, and I wrote an article about this. But I'm going to say more about it because, again, I just get so many questions about it. So, yes, if you're somebody who grew up in a home that made you feel unsafe, you may be one of those people who doesn't dream and never dreamed. And how do you get that back is really the question that I didn't have the time to address in the TEDx talk. How do you get that back? I mean, these are the times when I really do believe in therapy. I mean, therapy is for healing the past. Therapy is for, you know, drumming up some painful memories and seeing them from an adult point of view. So I do think therapy is really important to this healing. But also from a coaching standpoint and a more less emotional standpoint, it's about getting back in touch with what you want. When we are desensitized, you know, if we've been in fear too long or we've been traumatized or, you know, maybe we're just not wanting to face the truth and we numb ourselves out in some way, when you are desensitized, you can't feel your intuition, you can't feel your gut, you don't even know what you want. And so I want to share a little exercise that some people can do if they need to get their senses back. I will often, if I discover that someone doesn't have a dreaming mechanism anymore, I will assign to them something from the Now What book that I call Hobby by Crisis, meaning you've got to make room in the next week to 2 weeks, like it's a crisis, drop as many things as you can, and get to work on a hobby. And what do I mean by that? Either something that you used to love to do that you haven't done in years, maybe you need to get back on a piano, maybe you haven't touched your guitar, maybe you used to paint, maybe you haven't danced in a long time. Going back to something you used to love is one way. And another way is to take on something that's very tactile, something that causes you to, like, feel through your hands. So whether you take a pottery class or you, I know someone who did beading, you know, B-E-A-D-I-N-G, beading. You might knit. A lot of times people tell me, you know, I don't really do those things. I want a whole body thing, like ride my bike or dance or whatever. It's like whatever is going to bring back your creative juices, that's what I want you to do. And I see results with people in as little as 2 weeks that by doing it every day or five times a week, start to get back in touch with feeling. And you have to be able to feel your gut. You have to feel what you want. And that's how we start bringing the dreaming mechanism back, developing this sensitivity, making decisions less from your head and more from your gut or your heart or whatever you want to call it, being more willing to do things that don't make sense to other people but make sense to you. And this is how you start to get it back. And now, not everybody dreams visually. You know what I mean? A lot of people who are daydreamers or people who can shut their eyes and imagine something, that's one way to have the dream and the mechanism. But the other thing can just be feeling excited about something or knowing you're looking forward to something. All those things that bring back the sensitivity of your whole body, that's how you get that dreaming mechanism back. So I'm convinced that you can get it back. I've worked with clients to get it back. But that is the number one question I get from the TEDx talk is, what if I never had a dream? Okay, you explain it in one sentence that I'm one of those people. I had a weird childhood. Yep, that's me. How do I get it back? And these are some of the ways that you get it back. So I'm going to leave it at that for tonight. Anyone have any questions about what I just said?
Yeah, Laura, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm one of those people as well. I got lots of nightmares. I didn't dream per se, but I had lots of nightmares. So when I got older, I started dreaming more, but should I take those dreams seriously now?
Well, I'm talking less about nighttime dreams. You know, I'm talking about less about sleep dreams. Okay. And more about waking dreams. You know, so
waking
desire.
Dreams. Gotcha.
Yeah, like daydreaming, like desire.
Daydreaming.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And but again, if you know, I'm not a shrink, but dreams are definitely one of those things that shrinks love to pull apart. So that might be worth looking at too. But I'm talking about, you know, wake dreaming, daydreaming, wake dreaming, wishing, wanting, imagination.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you don't remember having a, you know, a dream of something you wanted to do or be when you were a kid that you wanted to grow up into?
I actually at one point wanted to be an actress or a dancer.
Cool.
And sometimes, yeah. But you know, in my waking hours, I was always in another place. But never in the present. I just feel like those were the only two I could think of. I thought they were the most simplest but the most complicated things to do. So I never went that route. I went into education because it was the safest thing to do.
Well, getting up in front of a classroom is performing in a way.
Yes. Okay.
So what did you, I described my actor experience, but, you know, being an actor or dancing, what would that have allowed for you or provided or put out into the world? Like, what are you putting out there in the world when you do either of those things, even if it was just in make-believe land?
I think to express myself and to express what I was feeling at the time or to escape.
Freedom.
And then over time, it kind of changed into being a teacher because I noticed that I wanted to help someone or educate someone for the better. And I try to, like, incorporate my sense of enthusiasm when I taught kids. And then when I wanted to help someone, I just genuinely wanted to help them and provide them the right information or the right, you know, sense of confidence in them.
Mm-hmm. So you wanted to give them freedom.
Yeah, choices or options. Yeah, choices and options. Yeah.
Great. So, see, it's not necessarily like a missed opportunity, like I never did that thing. It's actually just something that found other ways to be expressed.
Okay. A different form of expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the through line is still there, just like the magician guy, right? The awe.
Right.
Freedom of expression, freedom to be yourself, the ability to be free. And then you put that, you know, you're saying you put yourself in the box of an educator, but you put yourself on a small stage, and then you were using your stage to help the other kids feel free, feel expressed, be understood, and you know, unleash their creativity.
It makes sense now.
It's not random. There's really a through line to people's lives. I call it the life blueprint. So that's why when somebody, you know, is saying they want to make a radical change, we actually can find where it's already connected to who they are. It's not that radical of a change. It just may, you know, mean some changes in your outside world. Some people may not be happy with you. Sometimes the people we love the most are the hardest ones to bring along for the ride when we want to make a change because their life changes with you. But it's really, you know, giving yourself permission to be more yourself, and that's when we feel like we are having a meaningful life. When us being ourselves makes a difference and has a ripple effect, because it does.
Okay. I see connections now. I get it. I guess I'm on the right track, the right mindset,
too. It sounds like it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And use that to fuel you. It's such better fuel and easier to attain and to sustain than, you know, counting how many new resumes you sent out or, you know, flogging yourself to do the rest of it. You just say, how do I get to express this? Like, let me go find those opportunities, and then you become more willing to do the hard stuff to get it.
Gotcha.
All right. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? All right, so this is what I'm going to do. You know, these calls last as long as we have questions. So I'm going to wrap up, but I did say that I wanted to give you a wonderful discount tonight. If anyone wants to take the home study course, which is you get an electronic version of the Now What book, you get an electronic version of the workbook, and you get 12 videos of me feeding you each chapter in a little lecture, to be able to do the Now What work with a little bit of guidance, not just all on your own. And then these quarterly calls exist during which you can just pop in and ask questions because you're doing the program. So if you go to laurabermanforking.com and you go under shop, you'll see our Now What home study kit. Usually it's $499, but it's those listening tonight and who hear this recording are going to get the special price of $199, $199, $300 off, and you just have to use the coupon code HOMESTUDYOFFER, just like that, easy peasy, HOMESTUDYOFFER. The way my assistant gave it to me, there's a capital H, capital S, a capital O, but I don't think it's going to make a difference. HOMESTUDYOFFER, and you'll get our $499 home study kit for $199. I wanted to offer that to you as we're getting into the holiday season, which gives me agita that we're this year's moving so quickly. But I want everyone to end it on a good note and go into the next year feeling really excited about the possibilities for themselves, yourselves, myself. I thank you for being on this call tonight, and to those of you who are listening. You, I'm assuming, get my newsletter now, so you will know when the next call is. Also, check out the free resources on laurabermanforking.com, and there's a bunch of coaches who have trained in the Now What methodology, and you can find them on nowwhatcoaching.com. So thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. All the best, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for your questions, everyone.